Hello and welcome to another episode of 10,000 Hours. I'm Grant Spanier.
I'm Vince Cochi.
And we're your hosts. And today is episode 11 of 10,000 Hours, and we sat down with Jake Heinitz, the founder and editor-in-chief of Green Room Magazine, my partner in crime. We've been working on the magazine. We launched that last fall. If you've listened to the cast at all, you probably heard us talk about it. It's a really fun, exciting, cool project that I'm proud to be a part of. And we finally got to pick his brain a little bit, and what did we chat about, Vin?
Yeah, we talked about the art of the zag, and basically what that is doing something against the grain, going out on your own, going your own way even, being a pioneer, and maybe bucking a trend or a conventional wisdom in the process. And we looked at it through the lens of starting Green Room Magazine, and it just led to a really great story and a really great conversation.
Yeah, it was great. Really, really great.
Really great.
And speaking of things that are great and that help us buck the trends, we'd like to thank this episode's sponsor, which is Smile Software, and they make a product that we use and love called Text Expander. And recently, Text Expander, they have a new update in the App Store for iOS 7, Text Expander Touch, which you can use on your phone.
Yes.
And I know you're a fan, right, Vince?
I'm a huge fan. I'm a fan of the original product, Text Expander, and Text Expander Touch, which is just a great addition to the Text Expander family.
You know, I like that. It's touch. It's like feeling oriented. It's one of the senses. So if you're not familiar with Text Expander, basically what it does is it's shorthand. It's sort of like shortcuts for all sorts of different snippets. For example, I do it for some emails that I have to send addresses, directions. It just quicker. Don't waste your time. Helps you do things quicker. Works
Absolutely.
With a lot of apps.
Streamlines.
Over 50, I think, on the iOS.
Yeah.
Great product. We suggest you check it out. And if you're interested in reading a little bit more about that, go to smilesoftware.com/10khrs. That's 10khrs. Otherwise, go into the App Store and download it. Check it out. Text Expander Touch.
Highly recommended.
Absolutely. Thanks again for sponsoring Text Expander.
And thanks again to Jake Heinitz for a great episode. I hope you guys enjoy it as much as we enjoyed it.
To get us started, sweet, sweet Vince, do you want to just tell me what you're putting your time into right now? What are you working on?
Yeah, I'd love to, man. So lately, I've been really getting settled in my new place, and that's good because that means now I have a little more time to myself. And what's interesting is even though I have cable, I don't have a TV yet. And I'm in the market for one, actually, as you know. And what that means is there's been a lot of quiet, but the good byproduct of that is I've had a lot of quiet time to myself in this space that I can, you know, mold to my vision. And what that means is it's a nice, like, creative space. And so I've been working on some personal creative writing, and I never make as much progress on it as I'd like, but it's starting to come together just a bit.
I'd love to read some if you're willing. No pressure. I mean,
no, you'll definitely read it at some point. You know, I have that problem, and I think we should talk about this on an episode at some point. I should be willing to share it earlier on in the process, but I just get so attached to it.
It's me, Vinny. Come on, it's me.
I know, man. I know. Well, dude,
I've been working actually a little bit on some poetry. I wrote quite a bit of poetry last weekend. I'm working on a little bit of a book, a bit of a poetry book with a friend of mine.
I didn't know you wrote poetry, man.
Yeah, you do a little bit of poetry, man. It's
By book, he means mixtape. He's this going guy. To be recording a mixtape.
This guy. So, I think now's as good a time as ever to introduce our guest. He is my partner in crime with a lot of work I'm doing right now with Green Room Magazine. He got that guy off the ground. He's editor-in-chief. He's putting on all sorts of shows, bringing artists to town here in Minneapolis. Generally just up to some cool stuff. And that was why I thought it'd be great to bring him in here, pick his brain a little bit. Mr. Jake Heinitz, or is it Jacob?
Jacoby, some Jacob, say Jacob. Jacob. Some say Jacoby. Jacob. It's really what island you're from.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
I'm from the pretty large North American island here.
It's still an island.
Yeah. Well, yeah, technically. Welcome, Jake, to 10,000 Hours. So excited to have you. All week, I couldn't sleep. I've been just like waking up, sweating. I'm nervous. I just hope it
excited,
goes well.
Excited, anxious. And to kick things off, Jake, do you want to let us know what you've been working on this last week?
Well, I've also been trying to work off the anxiousness. I've been doing a lot of jump roping this week. Thinking about this podcast, getting ready, you know.
Of course.
A lot of research, yeah. I'm sure.
So right now we just put out the second issue of Green Room. So working on the first issue we had put out was raised through Kickstarter. So all the issues we gave out were for free. So this one is a little bit different. We're going to be charging for this issue. So it was like figuring out the process of, you know, working directly with like merchants and like getting it in stores and boutiques, and what's kind of the right space for that, whether it be like more independent bookstores or boutiques. Which, side note, I always think it's funny that boutiques always look at themselves as a movement and not just a shop, but that's like for a whole nother topic. So,
like a small biz movement, like a shop small, shop local movement.
No, more of like like the movement. You know, like it's always funny that
the
yeah
movement.
they'll have like maybe 5 t-shirts and a DJ, and then they'll be like the movement. You know, so so trying to figure out, you know, like if independent bookstores go, you know, like co-ops, like where's the space for a magazine that kind of represents. Mm-hmm. More than just music, it's more of a lifestyle, more of a movement, you know.
Yeah, we're moving too. Let's partner up. A couple of movements here.
Moving around. So, so working on that.
Exactly.
Also working on some different shows. I constantly am trying to like bring new people into Minneapolis, because in Minneapolis is kind of like a great music scene, but a lot of it is known for its indie rock and things like that, and then you know, obviously with Prince it was funk and all that. So with hip hop, it's like there always has been like a bubbling scene here and a really rich scene, but there's some gatekeepers on it. And so like when it comes to hip hop shows, you know, it's bringing in bigger artists like Waka Flocka Flame, who we're bringing in next week, and like we brought in Earl Sweatshirt and Big Crit and Tyler Kwali, but then also working with artists that are a little bit more unknown, like the internet or Denisha and Scene, and working those people in and creating really good relationships with them. Even if the show isn't like successful financially, it's like making sure we have a huge guest list, giving them, you know, a good time when they're in town, you know, and then working with them and building a relationship for the future, you know. So those are some of the things I've been working on. This last weekend we did like a little Earth Day cleanup at Powderhorn. So I was out there way too early, eating vegan breakfast cookies that this girl Courtney made, and picking up garbage. So that's what I've been up to.
Garbage. Is that gluten free? Is that gluten free?
Yeah, it's gluten free.
Is that a dish?
Gluten free garbage.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's all the rage. Like all garbage should be gluten free. I think personally, if I had my way. But you know, I'm just one person out here just fighting the fight. I'm actually, I don't know if you knew, I'm a movement as well.
Yeah,
we got a DJ.
And it's funny, once garbage becomes gluten free, it becomes recyclable. So it's like, you know, it definitely is
biodegradable. Put it in your car, biofuel, and now all of a sudden energy is going back into the earth, back into our vehicles. It's a cycle. It's cyclical. It's a convenient truth.
Peanut butter
did
jelly
we just,
time.
Did we just solve all the world's problems?
I think we just
right
solved
now?
Global warming. Yeah. Yeah. Man, see, that's why we do the podcast, to come
it's
up
to
with solutions like this, to innovate.
Large global scale problems.
But speaking of the reason of the podcast, and I think today's episode, what we're going to focus on here is sort of, it's a little bit of the rebellious nature. We're talking about going your own way, sort of finding your own path.
As you put it,
I don't want to say bucking,
zagging.
Bucking the crowd. Zagging, yeah.
Yeah,
is everyone zigging? Just zagging.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Zagging.
Like a Bronco.
I think they buck. They don't zag.
Oh, they buck. Okay, what zags?
A zipper.
Specifically, what sort of thing would you zag? Oh,
no, that doesn't. I was just thinking zip.
I don't want to correct my guess,
zipper.
But doesn't a zipper zip?
That's true. Unless it's broken.
Oh.
Unless it's broken.
There you go.
At which point it just exists. It just is. So I guess to get us started off, I think it'd be good to hear a little bit about maybe your path, Jake.
And specifically maybe the
kind
path of Green
yeah.
Room. Can you start at the start and tell us what exactly Green Room is in your own words?
Sure. Green Room is a zag, pretty much. I guess like basically when I was a kid I always wanted to write a sports column, and then that like slowly faded out of my mind, and then I was like, well, I really love music, so I wanted to work within music, and I did a lot of different things like kind of like unofficially managing artists and putting out block parties and things like this, and then I was in Germany and I was going into some of these like little boutiques and finding a lot of quarterly magazines. And actually, one of the ones that really inspired me wasn't even like really a quarterly magazine. It's almost more like a catalog for a brand called WSC, like We Are Superlative Conspiracy. And I really liked it because it was on like really nice paper. That was kind of one of the first things that caught my eye. Like more matte paper, and it just had really good photos. It wasn't over the top. There was no advertisements in it besides for that brand, which makes it a little different than a regular magazine. And it just had good content. And that was something that I started thinking about after I ran into that magazine in Germany, and I actually stole it and put it in my backpack and then continued to look at it. I'm admitting that right now. But I did buy a pair of socks from that boutique, so it was a trade-off. So,
oh yeah, yeah.
That's
how it works,
clean.
Right?
Yeah,
it's Germany.
I think you were, yeah.
It's a different exchange system over there, Vince. Yeah. You wouldn't get it, okay?
So that was kind of like when I first got inspired with the idea, and then I came back from Germany and put on. I think that was the first year of Hip Hop Harambe that year, which is a block party that I put together, and. After that, I went back to school, and I was just like, man, I don't feel like I'm really in the right place in school. I felt kind of constricted. I felt like the ways that we were taught subjects wasn't very conducive to like progressive learning. And so, against my parents' will, I dropped out, and I think I maybe had like a little bit over a semester left. So I had gone to the U initially, University of Minnesota initially for youth studies because I really wanted to work with kids, and then psychology, and then realized that everybody in my classes were crazy, and then switched out of that, and then switched over to Augsburg, which is a small private school, and started studying business, and was very, very uninspired and just thought that was the route I had to take if I wanted to get into business.
Business.
And then so luckily I met a few people that were like, you know what, really you just need to start researching what it is that you want to do and then find people that are doing that and then talk with them. So I started doing that, and I talked to people that booked. I talked to the guy that booked at the Varsity. You know, I talked to people that had their own magazines. I talked to this guy named Andre Torres, who started Wax Poetics, which is a music magazine that I really look up to the model that they have. And I just started to ask these people questions and ask them, why are magazines dying off? Like, why do people not want to hold something in their hands? You know, like this, that, and the other thing. And I had, you know, somebody locally that runs a free magazine tell me that it was kind of a terrible idea and that I shouldn't do it. And that was like kind of...
So, of course you did it.
That was kind of the last push I needed. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, speaking of the rebellious subject of the podcast, yeah. So, yeah, so that's kind of, in a nutshell, kind of how it started off.
Nice. And I think jumping from, you were talking about business and that sort of stuff, and you mentioned models and that sort of thing. I think something that I saw in you, and so like you and I, we knew each other for a couple years probably before we actually worked together, right? And we were both hustling, I would say, you know, trying to do a few things, projects that are like dead at this point, but of course like grew into other things. But the thing there is like, your sense of business. And I think this is what I would call like one component that is necessary for a Zagger. You know, of course people talk about this, like do what you love, like follow your passion. And they're really, precious about this artistry and doing work and all this stuff. And I think it takes a little bit of, balls or, also just like rationality, and like logic to like understand the nature of the business and to understand like what resources are and what you need to like make something happen and just be realistic about money, which is where I think a lot of people, especially in our generation, fall off right now. They're just like, don't get it. So I think that's one thing. I think another thing is, what I saw was like, you were just sort of a doer and I knew I wanted to work on a project with you because it's like, you just got shit done. Right. But that probably comes from a place of like failing on a bunch of
absolutely.
Shit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think the very first event, well, the first event that I threw was, when I was 18 and my friend had passed away in a motorcycle accident. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to throw a concert for him, for his family and try and raise money for his family. And we did it. And I got, a couple of Minneapolis rappers, Prof and Cancer, to come out and perform at it for free. And it was a great day. But there were so many things I did wrong. Like, it was like, I made things so much harder than they needed to be. I think I had, like, it was like, you couldn't just, like, buy a ticket to get in. You had to buy this, like, it was like a Live Strong wristband. But I made them so they said his name on it. And then on the back, because he was a pothead, I had them say Live Green. And once you got that wristband, you got two pieces of pizza, a bag of Doritos, and I think like a soda or something like that. So like, I like tried to like guess how many people were gonna come and have that many pieces of pizza for those people. And so there was some, you know, a lot of like a big steep learning curve. You know, like the first shows I did when I got to college were an acoustic morning show weekly at this place called Downtime, which is now out of business, or just switched businesses, but it was called Chill Bill. And I actually met a lot of people at that, and I actually met Dustin Thomas, who linked me and you up. So so there's always, yeah. I guess like what you were talking about, learning from failure, it's like kind of like manifesting an ecosystem, and then it's like an ecosystem of support, and then like an ecosystem of support that you create for yourself. And then just knowing that you will fail, but being honest enough with yourself to know when you should like try and pick up the pieces and reassemble, or when you should kind of just like leave the pieces there and go on to a new endeavor. So I think that was kind of the thing that I learned was, you know, you become so married to these ideas, especially when you're a young entrepreneur, you know, like you're like, exactly.
End all be all.
Yep.
It's
exactly.
Going to be the one.
And you don't think smart about like how you're going to put it out. It's really like, I'm just going to post this to my Facebook once a day for like the, like 4 months. And then people will really know. It's like, no, people will just hate you. Uh-huh. Like that's all that'll happen.
Right. So in the context of today's topic, I think kind of what I'm getting, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that this learning from failure makes you maybe not less afraid of failure, but more comfortable with failure. And so you're more prepared and insulated to do these zags, mm-hmm. which are, mm-hmm. for lack of a better description, decisions, projects, movements that go against conventional wisdom, common knowledge, maybe, like you said, the advice of people who have done it before, knowing that the chance of a zag failing is probably higher than a trend failing.
I'm actually going to push back on that, and I think that's maybe something that drives me. I don't know about Jake, but the way things have been going, and you start to, I think anybody who's zagging is someone who's naturally observing and somebody who has their eyes open, ears open, constantly just like looking, whether that's at culture, people, sure. trends, all these things. And in my experience and from what I see, like safe is really the risky move these days, because safe means like you don't get noticed. Safe means it fades away. I mean, I come from sort of like a marketing advertising world a little bit. And when I'm talking to clients about this stuff, it's like, hey man, like safe is a waste of money and time and energy, because people don't want safe. And that doesn't mean be over the top for no reason, you know, don't do that. But just being average is, it's just really easy to just fall away and not get noticed. So to me, doing risky things is actually a safer play, because they have a higher chance of success.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, and I want Jake to weigh in on this as well. But at the same time, sure. when you do the risky thing, there's a lot more in flux, just naturally. You don't have a template. You don't have a guidepost. You're not only trying to do something and succeed at it, but you're doing something that there's really no blueprint for how to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's that is where it's kind of a different thing, though. When you think about that, that is just like, yeah, that's tough, because as a zagger, I don't know if we're coining that term or not.
It's but coined.
As
it's
a zagger, yeah, it's like it requires vision, and it requires really just like imagination and belief in your imagination. Mm-hmm. Because even when I'm on a creative project, it's me trying to explain what I see in my head and then make that manifest itself. And when you're doing things that haven't been done before, it's really difficult. There's a fucking great quote from Seth. I think I read that to you before, right? Where he's talking about how anyone who wants to be an innovator and do something that's never been done before, no one's going to tell you to go do that, because like your parents, your friends, it's not going to make sense to them, because if it did, someone would have already done it, and it wouldn't be an innovation.
Right. Yes.
So that's where the risk is for me, I guess, in like – you're risking yourself, and you're just kind of putting yourself on the line every time you try and do something innovative.
I think that's totally true. And Jake, I'll ask for your opinion on this now through the lens of Green Room. What made you want to take this zag, even though, like you said, you talked to your friend who had put out a free magazine and he said, don't do it, it's not going to work. And maybe even this overall trend going away from print. I think it's kind of unmistakable or undeniable right now that we're trending away from the printed. I mean, there's been a resurgence, and I'm sure you guys know more about the actual ins and outs of the printing industry than I do. But generally, the conventional wisdom is don't go into a printed magazine, go into an online piece. So what made you want to take this risk and make Green Room a thing?
Well, I think too, just to comment on this whole print is dead situation, I think for us, or at least for me especially, like, you know, when you first brought me the idea, like real early on, when you were trying to get things rolling, what I thought was like in that whole safe is risky vein, the channel, this online channel, which is something we're still using, and you know, it's something we are going to continue to use, of course, and we embrace that. But that channel is so full. That channel is, and it's also, I think, representative of part of something, you know, we're getting at with the magazine, which is wellness and health and like kind of intentionality and social media and online. That stuff is kind of a little bit toxic right now. I think a lot of people are feeling that way, and that's a trend that we're seeing. And so for us to go and make something print was our way of saying, you know, we're not going to play just the content creation game and have our product be just this content online, which if you're going to play that game, your content has to be a certain thing, right? It has to be a listicle. It has to be a BuzzFeed. It has to be an Upworthy title. And for us, it's easier to make a product that people want, you know, in print form. And we're not just selling the words in there. We're selling the aesthetic and the experience and this tangible item. And I think that people appreciate that. And it's an easier product to sell when you think about it. You know, it's just like in terms of a business model, which is something you have to think about. It's kind of a time capsule. You know, with textbooks, the information changes year to year sometimes. And so it's like it makes more sense for that to be flexible and accessible. For us, it's like we're creating a time capsule. Can I just say one thing? You know, a lot of people, I think, who listen to this and who I interact with are looking for advice. It's a lot of like aspiring entrepreneurs, creatives, people who want to do stuff. And where a lot of people get stuck is starting something. Like, you know, a question I get via email especially a lot is like, how do I come up with my business or with my idea? And it's just like these people are like just confused and treading water. And, you know, where do I start? And I think a good way to start is, I don't know exactly the origins of this besides, you know, the Wax Poetic stuff. That's not where this started for you, you know, seeing that magazine. This started for you when you were getting into the music. And this started there. And then as you go on and get deeper into this interest, then you find things that are complementary and you build a platform, just like we're trying to build our content for different platforms like online and physical and Instagram or versus Twitter and all that stuff. It's like you find complementary projects and complementary initiatives. For me, you know, I'm running a small studio and do a lot of design work and do a lot of creative work. And this was a great outlet for a different sort of style, but it's still within the same vein, you know? And so it's just like complementary stuff. So when you're trying to start something, I think the piece of advice here is think of all your interests and then start to sort of plot that out and look at intersecting points. You know, if you're very interested in X and very interested in X, like what is in between there or what is something that can like connect them, you know?
Yeah, I think you guys have just brought up a ton of great points in a It's tough to react to all of them in a row. I'm just trying to remember like, oh, I have a comment about that. But I think what it boils down to and what I'm gleaning from your responses, both you, Grant, and you, Jake, is that there's a reason you're zagging. And there's a reason you're going against the conventional wisdom. It's done with intentionality. And when it's done with a point of view that you believe in and believe will be successful, it's not so much as a rebellious act as it is just an intentional act. And I think that's a lot of the points you were making, at least what resonated with me, was that you're not zagging for the sake of zagging. You're zagging because you think there's a desire out there for something, in the case of Green Room, that is tangible and fungible and, like you called it, Jake, an artifact, which the conventional wisdom would say is not the thing you should do, but you believe... Your point of view is that it is a thing you should do. And so you did it.
Boom.
Cool. And so I'm understanding the thought process behind Green Room a lot better now. And it, as someone who's read the magazine and loved it, it's cool to hear where it came from and this kind of origin story. I have a question for both of you. Self-proclaimed, at this point, TM Zaggers, Jake and Grant.
Lord have mercy.
You've given...
I thought you were making a TMZ reference there.
I thought he was too. He wasn't?
No. Like trademark Zaggers. Zaggers TM.
Rights reserved.
We're going to start a company, another company. Jake will call it. Oh, Jake, that's our rap group name. I've been really pitching Jake on doing some music. I can't really do anything, but, you know, I mean, it's just a good opportunity to learn. Say yes first and then learn, right?
Yeah,
that's
course.
The advice you always get. We'll call ourselves
Zaggers,
Jake. And it's kind of like, it's like a bit of like a zigzag reference maybe, and so it's got a little bit of street.
You know, zigzags are all street, man.
Super street. I'm super street.
My question, though, we have the reason for the zag, kind of. At least in terms of Green Room, we have the genesis of the zag. What I'd like to know from you guys, what are some of the problems and the obstacles you encounter whilst zagging?
Problems and obstacles?
Yeah, what kind of things, like, naturally, by virtue of zagging, what kind of extra obstacles do you encounter?
Just inherently obstacles.
I would say to be a zagger, you kind of have to be an idealist. And I think that just comes with it. And so a lot of it is kind of based on emotions and like victories and, you know, feeling like really good at the end of the day. Like if you're like, man, like, you know, we did that photo shoot today. Feel incredible, you know. And then you run into days that aren't like that, you know, days that it feels like you can't keep up with the pace of, you know, bigger companies or things like that. And it's because, you know, you're a young entrepreneur. So instead of like me going to, you know, New York and, you know, start working under, you know, Fader, one of these magazines, it's like I had to start it. So who do I talk to? You know, like who can give me advice? You know, so it's at the end of the day, it can be kind of like lonely or difficult sometimes.
Lonely,
you know,
man.
Like it's like you work. There's never enough time in the day to finish all of the work. So trying to like maintain a balance and like be like, okay, you start to schedule in things that you never wish you would have like had to like schedule. Like I'm gonna schedule in 3 hours of friend time. Like, did I just say that? You know what I'm saying? And it's like. And then it's once you have like done that, it's like your friends have already gone and like, you know, scheduled other things. So it's like once you're like, okay, cool, friend time starts now. You pick up your phone and you're like, who am I going to call? It's like, oh, well, sorry, dude. Like I'm out, you know, at my job, or I'm, you know, out with my girlfriend, or I'm doing this thing. And like, dang, well, I guess I'll just do more work, you know? And so it can be difficult sometimes.
I mean, I've said that before, even on the cast, Vince, like, I stand by that, leadership is lonely, you know, that's something I really believe in. It's just kind of like that Seth quote I mentioned. It's just, if you're doing something that's never been done, it hasn't been done.
Right.
So it's like, nobody can understand that, sort of. It doesn't mean like people are stupid. It just means like you are doing something that is not existing. And so it's like, to understand it, it needs to exist.
Right.
And leadership in general, like at the end of the day, you have to make a decision and you have to stand by that. And you're the one who has to make the call. And so you kind of have to do that alone. That doesn't mean you don't have people around you. And there are a lot of ways to keep that crew and that family sort of, and find some solidarity. But yeah, it's a lonely business. And as far as the work-life balance goes, like Jake said, it's tough. You know, you really, I think here's the value. The value of being an entrepreneur, of being an innovator, of being a zagger, is every day is pretty exciting. Every day is, I think, for the most part, a larger opportunity for growth. And so I think you grow quicker in a lot of ways. Not that you can't grow when you're not an entrepreneur, but I just think it just forces you to grow and
it's
learn.
An incubation
and,
chamber
and sort
of
move. Yeah, totally. But within that, then, is there is no off switch for the most part. You know, you can't really take, it doesn't mean you shouldn't take time and you shouldn't do that, but it's just, there isn't, you're constantly on because there's always work to be done. There's always something, you're just fighting a really big battle for the most part. So it's, that's where, you know, you just run into trouble and that's why you got to have a good support network. You got to have good people. I mean, I think, like having a partner like Jake, like that's great, man. That I think allows us to lean on each other and kind of push things forward, especially when somebody's tired, you can hand the baton off a little bit.
Yeah. And I would also say like, what is there when, so we're trying to make a print magazine, but, at the end of the day, like a lot of our work is done on the computer, whether it be emailing and things like that. And so also just like, you know, if you're running a magazine or like a studio and it's like you have to get these photos in, and then you have to upload something to Instagram, and then you have to do this and do that, you can like fall into the trap of what you wanted to go against in the first place by creating a print magazine. And you can be on your devices all day, you know, and so I fall into that trap sometimes too, when like my initial inspiration were based around like kind of like organic relationships and organic interactions and things like that. So I think there was like a commercial, I think it was probably for insurance because that's like what every commercial is for. But it was like a guy that was like sitting at an airport, and he was like on his phone. And then like this guy sat down next to him and like went to like make like to start talking to him like, oh, look, we're wearing the same tie. But then the guy was on his phone. So like the guy was like, okay. And just got up and walked away. And then it was like, you just missed your $10 million deal. You know, like it's like never forgetting why you started doing something for those organic interactions for me personally. And so like putting my phone down and trying to unplug and just, you know, go to a coffee shop or go to a different coffee shop that I usually go to and see who I run into, you know, like, because those are the things, you know, like, I'm putting together a film screening for one of the features that we had in this last issue, which was on a documentary called 12 O'Clock Boys, which was all about, this all black dirt bike gang in Baltimore. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, man, like, I promote shows. I know how those are, but like, how am I going to promote a film screening? You know, and I'm just like, man, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm thinking like, man, I'm going to have to like sit and write, you know, a ton of emails. I'm going to do this, do that. And then I like that night I was with POS and I was like, you know, I'm going to be doing this next week, you know, just kind of shooting shit and telling him what I was planning. And he was like, oh, well, you know, my cousin is the leader of an all black dirt bike or a motorcycle gang here in Minneapolis. Like, he's probably got 200 people in his gang. Like, they would all come to that. And I was just like, okay, cool. I just found my attendance, you know, like it's like going out and like not making things too difficult and realizing that all of your friends have their networks and their people, and not trying to be like taking advantage of your friends' networks, but like putting it out there in the universe and saying like, hey, I need help with this. Like, what do you got? You have any ideas? Do you have any people that you can link me up with? You know, and like, continuing that conversation, but also at the same time not always talking about your shit and not always talking about your business and your ideas, because you know you won't even realize how self-indulged you are until nobody answers your phone call, you know, like, oh, wow. Jake's gonna want to meet up and want to talk about Green Room, you know. It's like I have friends that, you know, their brand has become their life, and then they forget that like you, like, people aren't just like pawns, you know, like you can't just like call somebody who you think may have like, you know, a leg up for you and ask him something. It's like, no, you need to have like a, you know, a continued relationship with somebody to be able to just call him and ask him for a favor. You can't just like do it out of the blue. So
that's
really
just good life advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think we should touch on this when we come back a little bit here. Topically, working smarter, not harder, like building systems, just a little bit, just about being smart, just with your time and stuff. But, you know, we were talking about this loneliness and the toughness and that sort of stuff. It really got me thinking.
Did it, Grant?
Sometimes, sometimes at the end of the day, you just need a little bit of a stress reliever. And sometimes for me, that's just a good drink.
Yeah.
I'll have a good drink. And I was just curious, off topic this week. Is your favorite drink or sort of either a go-to drink or maybe even I'd love to hear about the weirdest drink you ever had. But just something in that vein. Do you have a weird drink? Do you have a drink you go to? You seem like a man who would just have a drink that he relies on.
You've got me pegged. I have a couple in the hopper that I will pretty much order no matter what. It's either a gin and tonic or a Manhattan. And
just classy motherfucker.
The Manhattan
is
on the rocks. Bourbon.
You put the ass in class.
So I'm not quite gruff enough to drink a neat Manhattan, though. I think if someone were to describe themselves as gruff, they would probably just stay away from the Manhattan altogether.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I don't know who is in the market for a neat Manhattan. but I'm not the guy either way.
I think Samantha on Sex and the City, she was kind of gruff, but also a Manhattan drinker. So I think she would probably be the market for that. But beyond her,
did you just out yourself as a Sex and the City?
Oh, absolutely! I will stand 100% by that. Like I grew up without a lot of without cable, and so when the CW bought Sex and the City, like the old episodes, that was like the only thing I could watch besides Bill Nye. So I was like all Sex and the City all day. So yeah, I have no problem telling people that.
You know, we might have to, Grant, you don't really, that was the least sincere respect I've ever seen in my life.
It was begrudging. It was just begrudging respect. I mean, like, it was, you know, I'm going to give it to you. I think
hiding something because, you know, it's hard for you to support my love for Sex and the City. So I think you might be hiding something, but we don't have to talk about that.
I'm coming from a place of insecurity. I really like the OC.
Yeah, so we've talked about that on the cast. You know,
there it is.
Even though I'm not the biggest Sex and the City fan, I have watched a few episodes. It's such a huge part of our generation's pop culture referential sort of atmosphere that it must be at least somewhat valuable to be able to make a comment like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually think about that stuff a lot because when it comes to earlier in the podcast, we were talking about not having cable and how that's made you more productive. Like keeping an overall balance and like keeping yourself like somewhat clued into pop culture and like somewhat clued into politics and somewhat clued into, you know, these different like subcultures, and having those as like an arsenal as an entrepreneur, you never know who you're going to sit down and start talking to, and you don't want to look like a little dummy, you know? So you have at least some little like smidgen of something to like get them going, you know? Like even if you just knew the names of the characters for Sex and the City,
that's
if somebody,
boost
yeah, it gets
so
your
much.
Foot in the door, you know? Like it's like if somebody's like, oh, Sex and the City, and then you're like, Samantha was my favorite. Keep going. They're going to be like, oh, Samantha? Hell yeah. Like, you know, and then they just like let them go on and just like, you know, do their own thing.
Dude, that's tough. That's tough right now, especially with so many things, like so much media, so many more shows. It's like the commonalities that we can cite are much fewer. That's, I think, why big things happen, you know, where that's like Miley Cyrus at the AMAs or whatever. Or what was that, the AMAs? Or whatever. Music Video Awards. VMAs. Like, when those things happen that actually do transcend these little fragmented niches we're all in, like, that's why those things go so viral and are just such a big splash in the pool.
You're totally right. Because there are so few things that we can say are truly mass media these days.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I'm also – it's, like, weird for me just because my – interests have changed, you know, especially over the last like 4 or 5 years, and like I just kind of don't really care about sports anymore.
You told me,
and that's sort of taboo with some folks, and it's also hard. I think a lot of my friend group or groups are like sports fans, and it's like that just like knocks out most of the things they talk about. And so it's just like, honestly, man, I found with some of my older friends, it's like, shit, what do we talk about here? Because I'm like interested in film and like in creative stuff and in, like, I don't know. It really just, like, it kind of cuts down on your available topics.
I mean, it's a tough thing. It's a true thing. It's kind of a natural thing, though. I mean, people change. Yeah, people's interests change. Speaking of interests. Grant, what is your go-to drink of choice?
Well, I don't know. Well, go-to, like, is just generally a sort of any sort of, like, whiskey drink. And I actually enjoy whiskey neat.
There we go. We met a real
just
man
a couple
on
of rocks.
Cat, finally.
Well, yeah, I got a beard right now, so. But I was going to say, recently, I have thoroughly enjoyed some Moscow Mules.
I mean, I'm not familiar. Can you please enlighten me?
Really?
What is in a Moscow Mule?
Yeah, so if it's properly served, I mean, Vince, this is a fucking great drink. Really great drink. If it's properly served, it's like about half of a ginger beer, vodka, a lot of ice. And it's served in a, and then some lime, get some lime in there. And it's served in a copper cup. Maybe you've seen those copper cups.
No, none of this.
Really? Honestly, dude, well, it keeps it incredibly cold. And it's just so good. It's just so tasty. The lime really pops. The ginger beer is great. It's like a great body for the drink. and I like vodka. It gives it a little bit of that bite. It's
where do
really
you
worth
find
checking
one?
Out. Make sure
how
it's
would I even procure?
A lot of bars, man. A lot of bars, I think. I don't know if there's one specifically in Minneapolis that's like got a great meal, but you got to have the copper cup. If they don't have the copper cup, clearly they don't know what they're doing.
Throw it in the bartender's face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Spit on them. No, don't do that. Yeah. Jake, did you say what you like to drink?
No. I think it was funny earlier you said Manhattan, and then you said gin and tonic, and you, like, I used to, like, and I still do drink it a lot, but, like, Hennessy was kind of, like, my drink. Like, ooh, I really like to be able to drink that just straight up because it kind of helps to not have a hangover when you drink better liquor.
That's a good
but
point.
As far as, like, productivity, like, it was funny, when I realized that I was, like, trying to be overly productive when I, like, started switching my drink choice to gin and tonic because I was, like, okay, I'm out there drinking so people won't comment that I'm not, like, having a good time and drinking, but I'm drinking water at the same time to combat my hangover tomorrow because I need to be up at 8:30 to work. So, like, it's like you still want to be out there drinking and social, but you're still in the back of your head thinking like a productive square. Like, I need some water at the same time. Yeah, so nice. I would say Hennessy. I also really like IPAs, but I try to pride myself on not being a bro, so I don't want to just be like, dude, just, you know, a killer local IPA. Yeah, so.
Hey, you definitely are a bro.
That's true. Okay, so yeah, IPAs all day.
You're the broest, man. You're a good bro.
One of the best bro for
sure. I'd crush some IPAs with you, bro. Like, head on down to the bar, grab some local craft brews, you know?
You guys are making fun of it. I love craft brews.
No, yeah, so do I.
Bro.
We're just being bros.
Bro. I'm a bro.
That was a good vibes. I learned some things about you guys.
It was great. Yeah, I feel closer to you. We should all go drinking sometime.
Let's make that happen in the very near future.
Vince, here, let me say this. Maybe I'll get some copper cups, and I'll get the ingredients, and I'll make you a mule over at my place.
I would
place.
Love that, man.
It's a plan. Look, see, this is one of those accountability things. Oh, wait, we still have to get percussion.
Yeah, this is like...
Or you could sneak a neat Manhattan into his copper cup if you really wanted to mess with him.
Oh, yeah, just...
I would
really
immediately spit it out. I'm like, I don't take these neat. Unacceptable.
So... Speaking of things, it's my go-to segue. Speaking of stuff, so we're talking right now, and let's continue talking. I think, really, we've been riffing for a while. I think it's, like, time to let's just transfer right into some final thoughts
please.
On the Ziggery, bucking the trends. We talked a little bit about the challenges. We talked about some perks, yeah. Well, we didn't talk too – I mean, yeah, we talked about the perks. I would be curious to hear from Jake.
Two things, right?
Maybe a little bit more about skill sets or something. You know, like, I think something for me, being a zagger per se, I've had to really focus and hone some skill sets. For example, design. Design's a great way. It's a really tangible skill. My writing, that's something I focus on. And, you know, there's some other things. I'd be curious to hear about, like, how you approach that, Jake, or, like, what you think your strengths are, and if not, like, or what your weaknesses are, which is something I think is characteristic of a zagger, is knowing, or a leader in general, is knowing your strengths and weaknesses and being able to fill those weaknesses in with other people. So I'd be curious, like, what you see your skill set as, or, like, how you kind of develop that.
I would say that my skill set is, it's kind of funny because people will be like, oh, you put this magazine together, and it's like, no, I actually had, you know, two designers that did it, you know, and then it's like, oh, so you took the photos. It's like, no, I actually had some different photographers that did that. Oh, so you wrote the pieces. Nah, I just wrote the editor's note, and that took a long fucking time. Like, it's like, you know, then they're like, so what did you do? And I was like, well, if it wasn't for me, then this wouldn't exist, you know? So it's like, I guess, like, my skill set is bringing people together and like getting people motivated. I also know that like one like very big like setback for me is putting too much stuff on my plate and then being bad when it comes to organization. And I would say like I'm quick to blame like the education system that kind of never that never really taught me like proper organization. And but like that's something that I'm really working on is organization. So I guess for me like my biggest skill set I think is inspiring people to get behind an idea. And then right now I'm working on like figuring out like a more sound business model that will allow those people that I really like, truly believe are the best when it comes to designing and the best when it comes to copy editing and the best when it, you know, this and that, like find a way to get like a core team. And then like I can take my skill set and like not have to worry about like not have to spend my day like, you know, editing photos and then putting them on Tumblr. Like I can like have somebody who's just like super, super like passionate about Tumblr and give them like my blessing, like, you know, like be like, okay, like I want you to take this over. And also like I would say another skill set that I'm working on and that I think I have like an all right, like I'm kind of honed in on is teaching, like when it comes to, you know, working at like social media. You can't just like throw somebody right in and just be like, take over the Twitter or like take over the Tumblr. It's like you really have to sit down and be like, okay, when it comes to the Twitter, like these are the people that we really like, you know, these are the people that we really support, you know, like whether it be like an artist like Vic Mensa. Okay, cool. When Vic Mensa puts up a new song on Twitter, retweet that right away. You know, like if he has a picture that he puts up on Instagram, like that, you know, like teaching them kind of like our network and then like putting it in their hands and being like, okay, now you don't need me to be here. You can take this over and be confident in your abilities to do it right. So I would say that's my biggest skill set is kind of like, you know, inspiring people to really like understand that like if this is going to work, you have to understand that you're as big of a part of it as I am.
So I think, what you're saying and just kind of reiterating, but really just like communication is something I think you're good at. It's and really, I think like a good leader, it's empathy. I think you have a lot of empathy, your ability to see things from different perspectives and to communicate and find common ground and give sort of tangible feedback and really just like understand people. And that's a genuine skill. That is something that perhaps it's not, I don't think you, I mean, some people are just naturally charismatic, naturally extroverted, naturally able to do that. But I do think it's something you've kind of had to hone and it's something you have to learn. And the other thing I heard you say, and I will say it's something you're doing with Green Room, it's like architecture a little bit, and like a good leader, getting the fuck out of the way sometimes. So it's just like trusting people. So putting the right people in the right positions to do the work. And that means you have to do less micromanaging. That means we get a better final product. Like it's honestly, it's incredible what you can accomplish when like people get out of your way, right? And so it's like, I think you've done a really great job of finding people who have particular skill sets who are trustworthy. So screening them kind of, and just attracting that sort of talent and that sort of person, and then putting them in positions to succeed and to be autonomous, without like sending them off onto an island and not supporting them. So I think that's a balance that a lot of people struggle with. And so part of that is like communicating clearly and giving good feedback, good direction, good, like managing the expectations and the deadlines and all that stuff. And that's just like not easy shit, man. It's tough.
Yeah, no, definitely agree.
Tough shit indeed. And right.
Man, Vinny, do you feel like you're a zagger?
That's a great question, man. I think I have zagged. It's tough to say, because I'm not like you and Jake, I'm not an entrepreneur. And I think it's a lot easier to define yourself as a zagger if you make it your business to do your own thing, right? And so as as someone with a 9-to-5, I don't think I zag on a daily basis, but I'd like to consider myself a zagger at heart.
Yeah. I mean, I think you are.
Hey, man, that's a pretty high compliment. Can I join your band? Can I join your...
Wait.
Trio?
No.
Can I make a trio?
You're new to this sagging thing. We need you to get in the studio first.
No.
Oh, man. All right, well, that's
fair,
I think.
Well, here's the thing, though, Vince. I think even, like, I think there are different levels of zaggery. and I think, like, even if you're not necessarily, and I'm not saying you're not capable or you haven't or whatever, not necessarily, like, starting the thing and kicking the thing off and, like, having an idea and, like, trying to get it to fruition in a zaggy sense, whatever. But I think the ability to hear a vision and to trust it and to work on that and follow it and contribute to that, even if it's not like from the very kernel or the beginning, you know, I think you've done that with me quite a bit, like Creative Go West,
so
like this. And I mean, a lot of projects we worked on last fall.
Go with the zag.
I think you got the zag, man.
Being
you
able
got
to
the
go
zag
with
deep
the
in
zag
the bones.
Is an important skill, I think. And I would mm-hmm. pride myself on being able to do that at least.
Hell
we
yeah,
had a
man.
Great combo today. Can we do the last two things quick?
Yeah, let's
All
do
right,
it.
Jake, so what we like to do at the end of each discussion is ask you, the guest, for two things. First, how can someone support you? And second, if there was one thing that our listeners could take away from this episode, what would you want that to be?
I would probably say, like, the easiest way to support would be greenroommagazine.com is if you go there and check it out, and there's a subscribe button on there. It's only $30 for a year. You get 4 issues, both digital, physical, and that's, like, a big way to support, you know, since we're creating a print element, you know, like, the online support when it comes to retweets and talking about it online is cool, but also just, you know, like, making sure to support that print element. And then telling your friends about that print element, you know. So that's like a big way. So greenroommagazine.com. Also, you know, Twitter, greenroom_mag. All of the socials are on the website.
Yeah. All right. So that's how they can support you. And now what if you could have them take away one thing from this episode, what would you have that be?
I would say definitely, like, what we were talking about with zagging, I think it's definitely a positive thing to follow your dream, but don't be reckless, you know, like, don't go out and just quit your day job and do all these sorts of things, you know, like, if you want to zag, like, start little bits at a time, you know, like, there's people that work with me on Green Room that are also, you know, servers at a restaurant and also, you know, performers and things like that. But then they spend, you know, a couple hours a week, or when it comes down to the deadline, like, a lot more hours that particular week doing copy editing. And then they can just go back to doing what they do. You know, like, if it just don't be reckless, you know, find little ways where you can zag and where you can do something that feels true and keeps your soul fed. But don't be reckless with your time or others.
Nice.
Wow. If that's not the mantra for the zagger, I don't know what would be. I mean, that's just a great summary.
The zag manifesto.
Yeah, I would say
the zagifest. I like that.
The manifesto des zags.
Awesome. Hey, Jake, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for all of your work on Green Room. It's been a hell of a ride so far, and I'm proud to work on it with you, man. And I'm proud to call you a fellow zagger.
Absolutely, TM Zagger. Let's get
Zagger's
in the studio
forever.
And get that
damn it
Zagger,
you know,
mixtape going.
You know when you like get in a fight with somebody, and then you go home and you like remember 25 minutes later like the thing you should have said, the perfect thing,
yeah.
Like. For drinks, why were we not talking about Zagger bombs? So dumb. It was just right there.
Because it was too close to
maybe
it was
get
too
that
close
wrong.
To us talking about we were talking about IPAs, and so like if we would have said something about Zagger bombs, then we couldn't have told anybody we weren't bros, you know?
Yeah. It's probably for the best.
The jig would have been up.
All right. Thanks again, man. So good to have you. And I think it's reasonable for us to ship it.
Ship it out.
Ship it.